What's up? It's the Georgia Show here on your Thursday. Jake Roos and Jake Rowe joining you. And as always, we are brought to you by our friends over at American Pride Bank. You can check them out, AmericanPride.bank online or local branches, Athens, Alpharetta, wherever you need to get in contact with them. They can get in contact with you. Reach out to them on the website if you need them. Small business loans, personal banking, whatever you might need for your banking needs, American Pride Bank, sure to have you covered. You talk to a decision maker at every step along the way when it comes to American Pride Bank. So we encourage you to go out, use them, and see how they can help you address your banking needs today. Again, AmericanPride.bank, the place to go for all the info. They are member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. Jake Rowe, Georgia Show is here, popping off, man. And we are inching ever closer to the beginning of college football. And it is an interesting time, Jake. You had a really good column on Wednesday morning that I do encourage people to go over and check out at Dogs HQ, especially because we got the $1 deal for 7 days. Go over and give that a run if you haven't already. But freshmen seem to be stealing the show a little bit here, Jake. We're hearing a lot of buzz about these young dogs that have come to Athens. And while that's not maybe the craziest thing that could happen, and it is certainly a thing I think that we hear year to year for a couple of guys, it seems that the group is a lot larger and perhaps deeper than in previous.
Yeah, and I drew the parallel to the 2022 season, and I want the parallels to stop there. I'm not trying to set a 15-0, 16-0 expectation and all of that stuff. I believe it's because there's two big similarities in the drafts that came before, which is Georgia had 15 players taken in the 2022 NFL draft. It had 13 players taken in the 2025 NFL draft, and you had several more people, or not several, so to speak, but I mean, Chaz Chambliss and Nazir Stackhouse were both big-time contributors for Georgia, signed as undrafted free agents. Ben Jurasik was another big-time contributor, signed as undrafted free agent. I think that both of those teams have a lot in common in that they have big shoes to fill, and a lot of them. And I think that's a big reason, because you look at the 2022 season, Malachi Starks didn't start the opener but played a ton and then went on to start 14 straight games. Mykael Williams did start the opener and I believe game two and went on to play like a starter in a bunch of other games that season. Led the team in sacks eventually. Dylan Bell had a big role on that team. Bear Alexander saw a lot of run on that team. And Jalen Walker as well. So it was five freshmen that ended up, and you heard about those freshmen during preseason camp. This year, liberally, I counted eight when you consider Bo Walker, Elias Williams, Juan Gaston, Talon Taylor. That's four before you even get to the defensive side of the ball. J.J. Hahn and Elijah Griffin make six. And then Zayden Walker has created some buzz. It wouldn't shock me if they figured out a way to get him on the field, whether it's kind of in a third down role like they did with Adam Anderson and Channing Tindall during their freshman year. Or maybe not. Maybe he just doesn't get through. You got Rashawn Dinkins is another that has, kind of made some waves as well. So, all in, you count seven or eight guys, and it's as high a number as I can ever remember. And it wouldn't shock me if C.J. Wiley or Ethan Barber or another player like that, Todd Robinson, because that safety position is a little bit thin. Wouldn't shock me if any of those guys kind of made some noise, because we've heard good things. But Elijah Gibson's another. I still think he's a little bit further away from the field now, but it wouldn't shock me if at some point he turned it on and earned some snaps. And so it just seems to me that there's a big-time freshman vibe to this preseason camp. And whether those guys end up playing big roles or not, Jake, I put a lot of stock in the way Kirby Smart has talked about them. Now, listen, this could be strategic on his part. I don't know. But in the past, whenever freshmen have been brought up, he really kind of downplays it, talks about how young they are, yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's just kind of the same song and dance. This year, he has intentionally brought up the fact that it's not the way it used to be, and they've got more time with them than ever. And he has kind of mentioned how much more ready they are. Even guys that arrived in the summer, he hasn't used that as an excuse. He said, this isn't normal time when they would come in the summer because we had so much time with them. And all of that's just kind of stood out to me to the point that, maybe only three or four of these guys ended up playing big roles, but at the very least, the competition's been thick and they have enhanced that part of it and kind of kept the heat on some of these guys that, you know, are in line to play, because it's not like they're stepping into roles where Georgia absolutely has to have one of them to play.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me. That's my huge takeaway on all of this. And I think that that's the ideal setup, right? Is that these guys aren't necessarily forced into playing, but the fact that they have a lot of ability and the ability to press the guys in front of them, that's what's crucial. I think that, you know, you're creating a lot of competition at a lot of different spots. And now I know that these guys aren't freshmen, for example, but like Ellis Robinson and DeMello Jones at that cornerback spot, right? Pressing guys like Daniel Harris and Dalen Everett to a different degree. But I think Daniel Harris specifically is a guy who's probably feeling those guys nip at his heels. You look at that defensive line, man, this is starting to feel with Griffin and then J.J. Hahn like a fairly deep group. And that's a really, really good thing at a position like that, especially a guy that I don't think either of us would have predicted to have heard much about in J.J. Hahn. I think that a lot of people projected him as not necessarily a complete developmental prospect, but a guy that was probably going to take some time to acclimate, more so than Elijah Griffin, for sure.
I would have called him a developmental prospect. I mean, and still may be. You know, like there's a long way to go in preseason camp. You know, he's a bad 2 or 3 days away in practice from, you know, and I don't want to say bad, just a couple of inconsistent days of practice in a row from being a little bit pressed towards the back burner, you know, because there's not a big body of work. It's I look at it as kind of, I mean, you know, both of us taught high school. This is a situation where he's got 6 grades in the grade book at this point, and they're all pretty good. And then all of a sudden he makes 2 bad ones, and that average goes way down.
Well, one of the guys that comes to mind for me in this instance, right, is – I remember very vividly from someone I trust a lot when it comes to these kinds of things. I remember when Amir Speed got on campus in Athens and they said, this is a 3-and-out guy. This is, there's no question about it. This guy
Mel Tucker mentioned him specifically in that preseason coordinator meeting that we would have with the coordinators. He mentioned him specifically as a guy who had stood out to him. I remember the very next day, Kirby Smart said, yeah, you guys are making Amir Speed out to be the next Deion Sanders. Like, dude, Mel Tucker is the one that shouted him out. We didn't make that up.
Right. So, I mean, like something like that, you got to take this stuff with grains of salt. I recognize that. I've said openly on this show, on other shows, everywhere that'll listen, I'm not taking any of this Elijah Griffin stuff with a grain of salt. I think that he's real deal ready to go. I mean, I feel the same way I will say about Zayden Walker that I do about J.J. Hahn, just because of what he's up against. I think that you're talking about probably top to bottom the strongest room in on the entire team. And so he's got
You were about to stay in all of college football. I was like, golly, man, calm down.
I mean, it's got to be up there, though. It's got to be one of the
good ones. It's a very talented room.
But that's a tough ladder to climb, man. I don't think that he's going to be forced in. And it's not necessarily a situation like, you know, you'll probably go through, you know, 4, maybe even 5 backers, right? But and a ton of guys on the defensive line, but you might not always get to 6th guy, right? Like in the inside linebacker room. And like you said, now a 3rd down package, I could certainly see it for a guy like that. You know, that might also make sense for a guy like Quintavious Johnson, though, who's been hanging around for a long time as well and has a lot of size and athleticism there. Probably a little bit closer to a body type like a Mikel Williams or even an Isaiah Gibson would be closer to a guy like an Adam Anderson, right? You know, as opposed to Zayden, who really has that true form like an inside linebacker. Maybe calls to mind, though, with his skill set, Jaylen Walker.
Yeah, totally. That's certainly where I would see him, you know, kind of fitting. And, I mean, and we talked about Tyler Atkinson kind of being that same type of player, you know, head to Texas. And, you know, that's the comp. I mean, it's an inside linebacker body with an outside linebacker skill set type thing. I will say this. I need to train myself out of saying linebacker, because hearing you just say backer. And I write it that way sometimes, but I never say it. It's so much cooler. Like it's like one strap on the book backpack, you know? I mean, it's just,
but we're also moving into a place, Jake, and this has happened since I've been in the business. So obviously you've been around to see this change too, where I think we're probably getting to a point over the next couple of years where we'll see a different designation for a guy like a Zayden Walker or a guy like a Jalen Walker. I mean, in the same way that you used to have weak side and strong side defensive end, now we just call that all edge. You know, I think that we're probably moving to a point to say that this guy, well, yes.
What are we going to call him, though?
I don't know. It's going to be exciting.
I mean, there's some words out there, Rover and Bandit.
And like, I remember like Jabril Peppers, they called him the money position, right? There's stuff like that out there already. But I think that we're moving into a space where people, there were some of these guys that have come through. I should say this, college football, in my opinion, is just now figuring out what to do with guys like. They're figuring out how to really utilize their skill set to its fullest potential. They're not trying to put them in the box that they used to, right? I think that they're playing into your speed, your ability to get back and affect the passer. You can drop into coverage, right? You can hold the middle if need be. You can come up and stop the run. These guys with these kind of Swiss Army knife skill sets are becoming kind of all the rage if you can find them and utilize them correctly. And Georgia's done a great job with that. And I think that they've got a couple guys like that on hand right now as well.
Yeah. I mean, Micah Parsons kind of opened that door as kind of that off-ball backer that could put his hand on the ground or rush the passer. It kind of reminds me a little bit, and I know we're a little bit off topic here, but we're staying in the football realm, which is good for us as far as staying disciplined. It kind of reminds me of that kind of that 6 foot to 6'2" three technique, you know, like the Geno Atkins and Aaron Donalds of the world. Like, you know, those guys didn't exist. Like, everybody wanted 6'3", 6'4", 6'5" guys. And then all of a sudden, Geno Atkins kind of came first. And Aaron Donald's a far better, you know, more surefire Hall of Fame elite football player. I'm not saying there's a comparison here. But Geno Atkins kind of broke that ice there and kind of became that, man, these guys are actually kind of hard to block. They're a little short, but they're kind of long, and they're really athletic. And it's really tough to move them. It's tough to get under them, and they have pad level and all this stuff. And Geno Atkins kind of got the ball rolling. Aaron Donald took it to a different level. And, you know, Micah Parsons kind of did that with the off-ball linebacker and then, you know, putting his hand on the ground. I think he's still more of an edge guy than he is anything else.
I agree.
And you've seen some other guys kind of emerge and be in that role. And Georgia's done a good job of getting those types of guys. And that's why I think Zayden Walker, you know, comes into that first scrimmage. You know, we kind of find out a couple of days after the fact, hey, this guy had a couple sacks. Listen, if you can rush the passer, you too can get on the football field. I don't care what you look like. If you are 5'7", you know, 216 pounds and whatever, but you've got get off and you can, you know, you've got some natural pass rush move and you can affect the quarterback, you know, consistently, you're going to play football. It's like being able to hit in baseball. And that's just the way that works.
A guy that comes to mind in this conversation for me, do you feel like if you could put him in today's game, drop him in as a freshman in this class, I feel like a guy like Channing Tindall, really, that's kind of, he was a guy that I felt like maybe they tried to box in a little bit, right? A little bit more into, and whereas that may not have been Channing's game. I think that he is a little bit more of what we're talking about in this. He's just kind of a put him wherever and let him go. And
yeah,
I
don't want to say Channing Tindall's a bad off-ball linebacker, but there was a complete lack of instincts there. I mean, like we got to kind of put him on we've got to kind of put him on the attack or give him a specific assignment, like a spy, as opposed to, you know, letting him be in the Kobe Dean, Roquan Smith, read your keys and find the football type guy. Yeah. I think that kind of wasn't his game. And I agree. I don't know necessarily where he fits, if they would have made him an edge from the jump or kind of a hybrid edge guy, but it would have certainly given him a better chance to, you know, get on but at the same time, they kind of did that with him as a freshman. That he was a part of the third down package. I want to say it was against Kentucky late in that season where you saw Georgia run out its dime defense, and it was Adam Anderson for the first time all year, and it was Channing Tindall for the first time all year, and both of them made plays, I believe, in that game. And also
at that time, you had a guy who was doing some of those things in Nolan Smith as well. You know, I think that he kind of played a role similar to that. So
yeah, there was a little later.
I think the guys like that, like I said, to me, Zayden Walker, sky's the limit, man. I think he has the ability to be that guy. And I think, like I said, college football is starting to lean into this and figure this out. With a guy though, like Rashawn Dinkins, that was a good find there. I mean, that was a great call to make, you know. I mean, same thing with Hunt for sure. And then you hear Juan Gaston. To me, that may be the biggest
that's
one of them
all. That's the most likely starter. That's the most likely, hey, he takes over and starts a bunch of games.
Which is hard. I mean, like, that's, to me, that's, he's doing the hardest thing as a freshman to do.
I agree. And the crazy thing about it is, this is not one of those things that's like, man, Daniel Calhoun and Michael Looney aren't any good. Like, they were both very highly regarded prospects. Man, Juan Gaston, before they competed a lick, before they even suited up this spring, folks were thinking, you know, we were already hearing buzz like, hey, this guy can play. Like, this guy is ready. And I tell you what, Jake, you know, you and I went to a couple of those Under Armour Next camps in a row down in Carrollton. We had a good time at one of them, before, if I'm not mistaken. I think we ate at like four different restaurants. I've never spent so much money on food in my life. And this is in Carrollton, Georgia, mind you. This is not like New Orleans. But we treated it like it was as far as the food we ate. I would have never saw it in a camp setting, man. Like, he's one of those guys that the underwear Olympics do not mean anything for him, because when he put on a helmet and shoulder pads, he became a completely different beast, evidenced by the All-Star game and his late rise in the rankings, all the way up to number 62 overall in the country.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, what you were going to see in Juan Gaston was the thing that anybody could see, which is he's a giant. I mean, he's a huge human being. And I mean, like you said, in the camp setting, sometimes that doesn't always translate. And you wonder, in those instances, does a guy, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes you read too much into camp, right? And a guy's a camp warrior, just an absolute stud at the camp level. But that doesn't always translate to the field. And then there's some guys that, quite frankly, they just don't give a damn about the camp. They're there so they won't get fined, essentially. They want to get their picture taken, and they want to do what they're supposed to do to maintain, you know, their standing and show that they're there. But some guys, it doesn't matter as much for. And he's a guy that I feel was kind of like that. It does seem like he has really taken the step since he's gotten there. No one ever doubted that he had the body for it. And like you said, it was a late rise in the rankings, because I think people wondered, like, okay, where is this guy in the progression? And I think we're finding out he was really far along.
Because in a different way, they put too much into the camp setting, you know, like, hey, this guy showed up, didn't really have great camps. But sometimes you put, especially with the linemen, you put helmets and shoulder pads in them, and they just start thumping folks, and you're kind of like, all right, you know, this, okay, he's good, he can play. You start to feel a lot better about him. And I think that's certainly what happened, you know, with Juan Gaston in that instance.
Oh, absolutely. And then the Talon Taylor buzz, look, it maybe shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I mean, it's a deeper wide receiver room than it's been in a few years, certainly, but five-star guy, been a while since they had one. I mean, there's definitely something to be said for him, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, one of the things I've heard about him, and I don't mind sharing it, you know, I wrote the column yesterday, is, you know, I had a good source tell me that this is just a fantastic football player. That it's not just like he runs good routes and he's fast and he's not just a really good receiver. Like, gets some special teams reps, he makes things happen. You know, when it comes to blocking, he makes things happen. He catches a short pass and he's in some traffic, he breaks tackles and he makes plays. He's a really good football player. I didn't say it in the story because it's pretty crazy, but I had a really good source that has seen practice and has been around Georgia for a while told me that he kind of reminded them of Sony Michel in the fact that he's a really good football player. They play different positions, but he's a playmaker with the ball in his hands, and he's a factor when he doesn't have the ball in his hands. And I just remember looking back on Sony's freshman year, and that was kind of the thing you heard about him was he made a lot of he made tackles on special teams, and he did a bunch of different things for Georgia. And, you know, Talon Taylor is kind of viewed in the same light right now as far as his ability as a football player. Great comparison if you're Talon Taylor.
And you bet your ass that's the way to get on the field for Kirby Smart. If you can make things happen at any point you're on the field, that's how you get on the field more. I mean, it's simple math. And so, like you said, a great receiver in his own right, but does everything well, that's the kind of guys they're leaning on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Going to get a lot of reps for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of doing everything right, our friends at Sun Heist, that's what they're known for. Very, very responsive in the customer service world. Free returns, free standard shipping on orders over $65. Oh, yeah, you can also save 20% off of your purchase with code DOGSHQ20. So get over there, get yourself a great pair of shades. Tailgate season's almost here. You're wrapping up the lake here. You know, you got the Labor Day lake weekend coming up. Jay Grow looking like a cop over here. Just all right, meow. We've got it going here. When it comes to Sun Heist, I'm telling you, get over, check out all the different frames, all the ways to customize them, all the lenses. They've got it all, man. Great local company, Georgia-based, and tremendous, tremendous product. So get over, check them out, man. We love our Sun Heist.
It's funny. I felt a lot goofier with them wearing them around my neck than I did actually putting them on. Really looked weird on camera there. But yeah. I'm really excited about these folks over at Sun Heist, man. They wonderful product. I wear these same things every day. Well, it's been cloudy a lot lately. I don't care. I just wear them anyway.
Absolutely. I get it. I understand. Jake, an injury in the offensive line room during fall camp. It's been pretty clean to this point, right? We've heard Josh McCray had an illness. He's back now. But for the most part, everything has been on the up and up, it seems, in the injury front. However, Malachi Tolliver now finds himself out for roughly, we're projecting, I think, a month. Tightrope surgery has been done. And so he's a guy that they were really taking a lot of the second team snaps when it came to the center position. Drew Bobo, obviously the front runner there, number one position for it. But behind him, Malachi Tolliver seemingly had taken the lead. You've got Walt Clair Flynn as well as Cortez Smith when it comes to the freshman there. I believe we've seen Dontrell Glover as well.
Yeah.
Another guy. But those names that I just mentioned, Cortez Smith, Dontrell Glover, those are freshmen. So when it comes to and Walt Clair Flynn, while he was a transfer addition, did not play. Did he play at all last year?
No, he didn't play at all last year, and obviously wasn't in Georgia's scheme either.
Right. So this, I have to ask you now, is this the first real concern we have in fall camp, is depth at center?
Yeah, I mean – if you're talking about your first big concern at camp is the backup center going down, you know, I think that's not a horrible place to be. You know, somebody made the point on the board, you know, I thought, you know, Georgia got Walt Clair Flynn for this exact purpose. Well, yeah, but he didn't play at all last year. And then somebody, I think somebody also brought up, well, did Tolliver play? That's a good point. But Tolliver has been through two springs at Georgia. He's been through an entire football season at Georgia. There's a lot of terminology and a lot of things that are said and a lot of expectation and stuff like that, that he understands that everybody else can't understand. There's a full, you know, almost a, you know, there's a full year and a half into this. And Georgia didn't go and, you know, cross train another offensive lineman like it did last year with Tate Ratledge for a reason. You know, and it didn't go and you know, spit, you know, try to spend big money on adding offensive linemen in the transfer portal for a reason. You know, Walt Clair Flynn got the chance to come home and kind of come back to the state of Georgia and play. And I think that was a good addition. And I think he definitely gives you a little bit of a safety net there in terms of having a older guy that has a year of college under his belt and, you know, had, you know, learned a lot last year. So I'm not trying to, you know, diminish that.
Well, and I would say also too, you felt really good because regardless of where he was ranked nationally, Cortez Smith in speaking to Charles Power, was essentially the nation's number one center prospect coming out of high school. So you had a really, really standout player at the exact position. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. And but he's, again, another guy who's going to probably be a factor in this moving forward.
Yeah, and granted, now let's you know, throw the anchor down here for a second. We're not talking about an ACL. We're talking about a high ankle sprain.
Sure.
And we're talking about tightrope surgery. So, ideally, you know, by the time you get to Tennessee, you'll have him back. You know, I mean, or you know, I think there's a very good chance that he'll be back in some capacity, you know, to that point. And, you know, obviously – you know, if Drew Bobo goes down, I don't care who was the backup center, there was going to be some yippiness as far as the way you felt about it. Be some nerves. But it is certainly not ideal. But I think to this point, knock on wood, you know, that's, you're fortunate to be in that spot. You know, there's some bumps and bruises. I think you said Thomas Blackshear's got a groin injury. You know, there's some other, you know, minor stuff going on. But you know, to this point, you know, things are going pretty well as far as that goes. And, but, you know, losing Malachi Tolliver is certainly, it's certainly not nothing. And I think that that's, you know, something that they've got to kind of try to work around. I don't know if there'll be any cross training going on. Like, I don't know if they'll, I got no idea where they turn. You know, do they maybe get Daniel Calhoun or Michael Ooney some reps down there? I think, you know, Ooney's a tackle prospect, yeah, but he's also, I don't know, very many 6'7" centers, so to speak. You know, maybe you give Ernest Green a few reps down there. He's a good athlete and, you know, it would be a good interior prospect. It might be something where he finds a home kind of working down there a little bit. And then you start to work Juan Gaston there at right tackle. You end up with a very inexperienced right side of your offensive line in that, you know, instance, if you have to turn to that. So I'm not real sure, but it's not, certainly not a major concern to the point that it'd be a bit much bigger deal if Drew Bobo had gotten dinged up, or if you were looking at a position where you needed to rotate and a guy that was going to be in the rotation went down. But it's not insignificant. And I think, and that surprises me. I think that should say a little bit about Malachi Tolliver and kind of his approach since he's gotten to Georgia is, if you'd have told me this time last year that Malachi Tolliver would get hurt and it would sting a little and it would cause a little bit of a concern, I don't know that I would have believed that. I would have thought you were maybe pulling my leg a little bit, but he's come a long way and had a good spring. Even got a couple of weeks or a full week of spring when Drew Bobo was dinged up, where he got to run with the ones and be the guy, and they had a good week of practice. So I think that there's some confidence in him, and they're certainly wanting to get him back.
Who do you estimate, if you had to pick, of the, let's say, three names that we've got, right?
Well, I don't have to pick, so don't try to put me in a corner.
Well, I mean, who would you kind of give the edge to, though? Flynn?
For the center battle?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm saying behind Tolliver. If you got to go to the backup now.
I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I will say Rusty had a good report on Dontrell Glover here recently, and for that to kind of pop up, I wonder if maybe they – I don't know. That's just a tough – it's a tough thing to understand because I don't know what they know. You know, like, not what the coaches know, but I don't know how mentally prepared the players are because that's such a big part of that position. I mean, I've heard Jason Kelsey say it. You can kind of hide your center. You know, like, you can kind of hide that position with double teams and things like that if the guy knows what to do. When to snap the ball and a little bit about the protections, you can hide him a little bit. But I don't know kind of who is mentally ready to play that position. I'd probably give it to Walt Clair Flynn because he just has more ball under his belt. You know, like, he's just, you know, been around a little bit longer. And I think, you know, certainly know-how is a big part of that position.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me as well. But it's really not that crazy to me to think that you could potentially see a guy like Cortez Smith or Dontrell Glover, if they believe that that's the future at that position, kind of leaning on that guy and saying, hey, look, let's just baptize by fire.
Yeah, if Drew Bobo is going to get banged up, he needs to get banged up quick so that they can play these guys against Marshall and against Austin Peay and get some, you know, experience under their belt and some film for them to watch for sure.
I agree. Look, another opportunity here to save yourself some money, and this time on another high quality product. It's Roback, and Jake Rowe over there sporting his Roback today. Tell the people about the Roback, Jake. How does it feel on?
It's very comfortable. It's very fits true to size. I will say that. I got my little XL going on here. I bought a double X in the hoodie, thinking maybe it'd fit a little smaller. No, brother, it swallowed me. So, you know, Jake Rose out of the double X's. As Rusty pointed out the other day, somebody in Butts Mirror said that I'd grown my hair out and lost weight. So they were asking if I was going through marital troubles. I'm not. I'm happily married. Love my wife, and she loves me back sometimes. But no, this stuff's awesome, man. It's high quality stuff. And this Georgia collection is just ridiculous. I mean, this polo
the game right day here, shirt is beautiful. It really is.
They did a phenomenal job with this. The pullovers are great. The hoodies are great. It's high quality material. And, I like the vibe of it. People see you wearing it, and if they know what Roback is, you know, they're like, hey man, this is good stuff. I mean, it's good stuff. You some status here. I feel like somebody when I wear it.
Yeah, like that Travis Tritt song, I'm going to be somebody in my right. Roback. Dogs 20, DAWGS 20, your code to get 20%. Or is it 20%? Yeah.
It is 20% off.
20% off over at roback.com. Go over and check them out, man. They got some amazing, amazing Georgia stuff and other just non-college related things. So get over, check it out. Amazing product for real.
Awesome, awesome. We got a scrimmage coming up this Saturday again. And as Rusty and I have pointed out ad nauseum on every show that we possibly can, this is the big one. You know, not in Sanford and Son's terms. This is not the big one in terms of somebody's going to die and the heart attack and all that stuff. But it's a big scrimmage, Jake, because this is when everything starts to take shape. And we're coming into these last days before, and I know for a fact that they'll treat, you know, today and tomorrow, Friday, as kind of preparation for that scrimmage. They'll kind of gear these guys up and you know, give them that kind of last minute kind of cram session and you know, a little bit of game plan type stuff, and they'll be getting ready for this scrimmage. So, you know, normally you're the one posing me the question, but I'll let you go first here. What needs to happen in the second scrimmage, whether or not it's relative to the first scrimmage or not, what needs to happen?
I've been using the phrase seize the brass ring here lately or grab the brass ring. Well, it's just like who's going to take control? Who's going to be the one to kind of get up and take this thing? To me, that's what this scrimmage has to be about, finding that safety next to KJ Bolden. And we've heard a lot of things. Is it Ja'Cory Thomas? Is it Adrian Maddox? I think that this is kind of the one where you got to figure that out. And both of those guys, it sounds like, have done some really good things through fall camp. But that position feels like one that has a great deal of uncertainty around it moving forward in terms of, you know, Rusty and I talked about it recently, and I said it's almost like quarterback, right? Like if you got three quarterbacks, you don't have one. You know, if you got three safeties, do you have one? I don't know. You know, it's a good problem to have that you've got the competition there, but a guy needs to step up. And I think that each guy brings a little something interesting to the table. And I would be, I'm interested to see how that one plays itself out. The other thing that I think needs to happen, because I feel like it's something that, and I've posted this kind of consistently via insider notes and posts on the board, I want to hear that Ryan Puglisi has taken a little bit better care of the ball, because it does seem like he's kind of leaned into there's a bit of a gunslinger mentality from what I'm hearing, and he's not afraid to throw that thing up and just see what can happen. And that can result in turnovers from time to time. And I think that that's a concern based on everything I've heard. So I would like to see him kind of have a clean second scrimmage as well. I think that that would go a long way to helping everybody feel better moving into this fall.
I'm about to illustrate to you why, one of the many reasons why I never got a chance to make a bunch of money as a coach. I don't know that I put, unless the guy's out there throwing three or four picks in a scrimmage, I kind of want my quarterback to throw a pick in the scrimmage, because I kind of want him to have some confidence and to fit the football in there and make some. Now, don't go out there and throw three or four. Like, that's fine. You know, like, you know, I understand that. But I don't know. I kind of want him to go. Case in point, you know, when JT Daniels was trying, you know, somebody told me about JT Daniels during that 2020 season. They said at some point you've got to commit, you've got to complete a pass to a wide receiver. He was kind of check down Charlie for a long time there. And, you know, I was one of the people reporting. Everybody was like, hey, you know, he's not going to be a factor. He's not going to be a factor. And I'm, you know, I was reporting the whole time because I had good sources on this that were saying he's going to be fine. You know, like he's going to be fine. Like he's getting his confidence back. He's had, you know, he kind of dinged himself up there a little bit with the knee stuff. And it not only dinged him up physically, but it dinged him up mentally a little bit. And he tries to get the ball out a little too quickly. He's going to be fine. They feel good about him. Same time, they were, you know, the same people were telling me this staff thinks Stetson Bennett can get a lot better. So you fast forward and you know, he finally got onto the field. I think when he started getting a little bit more comfortable holding the football and pushing the ball downfield and fitting the ball into tight spots and stuff. So I think you do want your quarterback to make contested throws, tight window throws, and to do those things, to not avoid those things. You know, there was the talk of Jaden Daniels in his first year as a starter at LSU that maybe he was too careful with the football. He was too picky about where he wanted to throw it and kind of turn some opportunities down. So I think there's certainly a balance there, especially in a scrimmage where you're not going to get your team beat and losing a game. I actually kind of value a guy that could maybe flip that on and off. It seemed like Stetson kind of had a little bit of that. He threw a lot of scrimmage picks, you know, and stuff like that. But I see where you're coming from too, is like, if this is a constant thing that Ryan Puglisi is going to deal with, then it's going to be something that eventually becomes a body of work thing for him too. I look for the offense as a whole. I think it needs to flip the seesaw a little bit, right? Because starting with that first Saturday when George was in shoulder pads, through that following Thursday, the offense whipped up on the defense. All right, it took it to them every single day. You were hearing even you know, now after the fact, you talked to a few people and somebody was like, yeah, well, you know, I had a few concerns about the defense. I'm not going to lie, because the offense was kind of having its way. Well, scrimmage happens on Saturday. Defense gets the majority of it, while the offense has some pass game success, not much on the ground. And it seems like the defense has kind of gotten after the offense since. Okay. Saw that coming. I feel like if you've ever followed a preseason camp, especially a Kirby preseason camp, and you understand that there's probably a meeting room where those guys got called everything but a child of God at one point. Yeah. For sucking it up, then, you know, they answered the bell. Well, now the offense needs to answer the challenge like it did in the spring and have a good second scrimmage. And I think that's kind of what I'm looking for, is the offense to punch back. Defensively, where they added edge. I like the safety battle, but I don't want to be repetitive there. But where they added edge, like, you know, Elo Madozi. You know, is he coming along? Is he getting there? We've heard nothing but good things about him. He's still learning and all that stuff. He's not really shining on the practice field, I would say. Not a ton of buzz, but the culture fit, he belongs physically, all of that stuff you want to hear. Georgia, that outside linebacker position at Georgia is complicated, okay? Like, it's not an easy position, and a lot is required. Like, when you see a down block in front of you and you know counter's coming, you've got to squeeze and meet that first blocker. You got to blow him up. I mean, you got to throw your body into him. And it's, you know, you heard Tate Ratledge talk about that on his podcast about Chaz Chambliss. Like, get you some of that, you know, like, you know, pull and have 32 come into your chest like a cannonball. Like, that sucks. And so that's kind of what you're required there. So who's doing it? Who's making it happen? You know, Quintavious Johnson, I'm almost positive, is going to be a big factor there. You know, Gabe Harris is having a really good camp, playing some DN, playing some outside backer. Yeah, used backer. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, there you go.
Mouser reminds me of saying back in the day when my grandpa would say, you want some backer?
Yeah, sure.
You know, throw some red man and turn green. But, you know, Elo Madozi needs to kind of be that guy. Can Isaiah Gibson start to get that stuff going? You know, I'm looking for that whole body of work, because I think at defensive end, Georgia's going to piece it together. You know, I think you're probably going to see packages where you see Jordan Hall, Xavier McLeod, and Christian Miller all on the field at the same time. You know, kind of a big lineup there at defensive end with one of those guys playing D end, and then a big outside backer. So ultimately, I want to see who is going to step up and kind of be that linebacker slash edge, as opposed to that defensive end style slash edge. And, you know, I think that's one of the main battles that you kind of come into preseason camp really looking for.
Yeah, no, I would completely agree with that. I think that makes all the sense in the world. You know, I don't think that it's super surprising necessarily that you – I've always – I feel like scrimmages always sort of lean toward defense. I feel like it's just you're to get all the people on the same page doing all the same things on the offense is a bit more of a challenge because the defense, by and large, has one big job, which is stop what's happening. And the offense has to kind of make the dance happen with 11 people. And so, you know, it does. I've always felt that it trended that way. I think that we've heard that consistently over the years. The defense has really stepped up. And I don't think it's also much of a surprise necessarily either. I mean, when we've talked about things that Georgia's replacing and where they're going with it, you know, we're talking about a lot of not new. Well, we are new faces in terms of starters on the offensive line, a new quarterback, a new a plethora of, you know, young receivers. You know, so it's a lot of that. Whereas on the defensive side of the ball, you've got a lot of experience at cornerback. KJ Bolden's an excellent playmaker at the safety spot. Your linebackers are just absolutely fighting tooth and nail every day against some best competition in America. And you've got a lot of guys who played a lot of snaps on the defensive line. So I think that it makes sense that it is the way that it is as it stands, but I agree. It would be nice to hear that the offense kind of steps up and has itself a big day.
Yeah. And I'll say this too. It also favors the defense. I feel like when two teams are extremely familiar, when two sides of the ball are extremely familiar with each other, I think it favors the defense because it takes an offensive advantage away from it. You know, they're not, Georgia's not going to show its defense anything that its defense hasn't seen before. No new looks, nothing like that. Because every single install they have, they install it against somebody.
Well, and not only that, but you know, because you've gone up against the guy so many times, his tendencies, you know, this is what this he's got this move, this go-to thing he does. Right. And I think that, you know, you come to expect that out of certain receivers. Right. You come to expect that out of this lineman likes to attack me like this. Here's how you beat this. You know, I mean, it's like there's a number of ways that I think I would agree with that. Totally. The familiarity
between Christian Miller and Jordan Hall. I mean, as far as what they've seen up front, I mean, they've seen this over and over and over again. They're sitting in their third camp. So I certainly see where that's coming from. And I'm not saying that the offense is totally void of having those advantages as well, but you know, there's just something. You know, there's an innate unpredictability of what an offense is going to do when you're playing somebody else, because you haven't seen. There's nothing new. Like there's nothing to kind of. There's nothing that comes off this counter that you normally do that is going to confuse them because they've watched that be installed already, so that they're kind of ready for it, whether they want to make themselves ready or not. It's just there. I mean, it's, you know, going back, you know, playing high school football, like it was the same exact thing. Like, I mean, you know, I love playing scout team against our offense because, you know, I'd roll over if I wasn't in on the offense, I'd roll over and try to play linebacker with the scout team because I just run around trying to make plays because I knew what was coming because I knew what, you know, the ways they lined up in certain things and did certain things and our bread and butter and all that stuff. And then I think that same concept applies. But I do think, you know, the offense needs to be physical. They need to get a little bit of a run game going against a defensive line that I still am bullish on and have been bullish on just because I think, you know, Jordan Hall and Xavier McLeod are kind of coming into their own a little bit. But I just think a bounce back's needed, you know, there for them. And I don't even necessarily call it a bounce back. Just get the seesaw going back in your direction because – once this scrimmage is over, that depth chart starts getting set, starts to firm up, and they start getting the guys ready to play that they're going to rely on in game one. And, you know, that'll all be determined Sunday as opposed to Saturday when they start looking at the film and start grading these guys out. Last thing before we go, come hang out with Dogs HQ, okay? Now, first of all, these are our friends over at Point Grand Properties. This is going to be a tailgate party from 4 to 7 p.m., at Point Grand Properties in Pendergrass, Georgia. Okay, we're not going to be at this one. This is coming up in 2 days on Saturday. Open bar, 4 to 7, NCAA tournament, $250 grand prize, raffle, bounce houses, family event, everything. Everybody is welcome. You do not have to be a member or interested in coming to this property. They just want you to come out and hang. All right, so if you're looking for something to do and you're in the Jefferson, Pendergrass, Braselton, Hutchinson area, check it out. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a good time. These places are really nice. Saw them earlier this week, and it's awesome. But also, if you want to go to one of these things and you want to hang out with Dogs HQ, and I'm working through some technical difficulties right here to get this to pull up, I'm about to pull my hair out, honestly, because it's, as Roos can attest, I was having some problems with this before we came on the air. If you want to hang out with Dogs HQ, we're going to be at the one in Athens, okay? That one is at 167 Tally Crossing in Athens, Georgia, Point Grand Apartments. Dogs HQ will be live from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. out there, and it's the same thing, all right? Raffle prizes, photo booth, bounce house, face painting, games, swimming, and more. You know, there's going to be an open bar. There are going to be food trucks, and Rusty and I will be out there with our brand new Dogs HQ tent. All right, we've got a tent, brother. We have made it. We're going to be setting up doing the Georgia show from out there, talking about the coming season. It'll be 1 week away from the start of the season. That'll be on August the 23rd. We want to see you guys there. And then on top of it all, we're going to be at Redstone. Every single home game this fall, times to be determined depending on kickoff times for games. We haven't set those in stone quite yet. But prior to every single home game this fall, we're going to be at Redstone. They're going to have your tailgate boxes ready. Ready-made tailgate boxes or things that you can cook. Hey, come out and see us and then pick up your tailgate box and go back home and cook it and watch the game. But come see us. Rusty's going to have some T-shirts out there for everybody. We'll be doing the Georgia show. You'll be a part of it. We'll be goofing off and talking to Georgia football on game day. Football's back, man. Football's back. You know, Rusty caught a couple of games yesterday for high school football. He's got that going on. I think he's got a couple more games on Friday, I want to say. Yeah. It's time to have some fun, man. And nobody has fun during football season like Dogs HQ. We do it right. We do it heavy. And that's the way you got to make it happen.
Heavy fun. That's how we do it, boys.
Back in the day, my coach used to say, do it right, do it light, do it wrong, do it long. So that was kind of Lloyd McDonald's. And I don't know why I always call him McDonald, but everybody did it. It's Lloyd McDonald, but everybody calls him Coach Mac. But yeah, he used to do it right, do it light, do it wrong, do it long. Apparently, we did this show wrong because we've done it long.
We have gone long. Yes, no question about it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in here to the Georgia show presented by American Pride Bank. Shout out to our friends at American Pride Bank. Shout out to our friends at Sun Heist, Roback. We've got a lot going on, man. Just try and keep up and get over $1. You can get in 7 days. Check it out. See what you can learn about your dogs. We have a great time over on the message board. It's even more fun over there. I know it's hard to believe because you see it on the podcast here. But for Jake Rowe, I'm Jake Roos. We'll catch you on Sunday.